Welcome back to Between Sessions, guys. I'm Ebony Harris.
And I'm Anissa Lokeen.
And this is Between Sessions.
And we are two brown chicks changing the face of therapy on
both sides of the couch. Today, we have special guests. I'm going to let Anissa introduce. Yes.
So this is my dear friend and colleague, Stephanie Falcon.
Thank you.
She is therapist.
This is why I love her. I don't want to mess up.
She is therapist of Katie, LMFT, LPC, certified sex therapist, ASECT certified sex therapist.
That's right.
And she is here today to talk to us about what you should know about sex therapy. Yeah, because it's February.
Yes.
Love is in the air. So that's going to be the focus this month is relationships and sex.
Yes. So that is what we're focusing on. Make sure that you check out the full podcast on melaninandmentalhealth.com. We are posting them every Friday, the audio and the video. So you can check it out if you're not able to stay for the full thing on Facebook Live today. So we're going to get right into it. First, you know, introduce yourself a little bit more, and then we'll start going into the topic.
Okay, well, I guess some highlights are originally I'm from San Antonio, moved to Katy, gosh, I guess now 10, 11 years ago, went to Our Lady of the Lake University, that's a graduate, bachelor's and graduate school, and then started working some nonprofit, and before I knew it, jumped into the whole private practice realm and loving it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. We're so happy. And so for those of you who are not familiar with the greater Houston area, Katy is a suburb of Houston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And how did you guys meet?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's so funny because as some of you may know, I'm also a sex therapist. I'm also bilingual. And I mean, social media these days, like that's how I met both of you.
Right.
And she had posted in a different Facebook group for therapists and said, you know, I practice out here in the Katy area, which I also practice in. Mm-hmm. And I'm Spanish speaking also. Mm-hmm. And I'm a sex therapist. So I was like, wait, what? Because we're like unicorns.
Right.
Like, there's not a lot of us. So I was like, let me message her. We had lunch, found out we lived like 5 minutes away from one another.
Wow, okay.
And so we just hit it off. And so, like I said, we're colleagues, but also she's a dear friend of mine too. So,
yeah. Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So you've been such a supporter of Melanin and Mental Health from the beginning.
Yeah.
She's one of our dope therapists.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So to get into the topic, can you explain a little bit about what sex therapy is and what it isn't? Because I know that Anissa and I'm not even a certified sex therapist, get phone calls where people are like, so what exactly are we going to do in this session? So can you explain a little bit about sex therapy?
Sex therapy is a lot of things.
Okay.
The way I practice sex therapy is I don't see a lot of times I get calls for people who are mandated. So it was like a sexual predator,
like a sex offender.
A sex offender. And then now because of the courts, they're needing to have therapy.
Mm.
And so I don't do that because that's a separate license that I don't have. So I'm more passionate about the whole like couple relationship aspect of it. I also do a lot of family work. So there's a lot of situations where maybe the child, the teenager is still exploring their sexuality. Mm-hmm. They're having a lot of questions. I also happen to be Catholic. And so I have a lot of Christian clients who, because of that topic of the homosexuality and just things like that, they'll come to me and be like, oh my gosh, what do we do with this? So we don't know what kind of conversations to have. And then also in the family realm, it would also be, how do we even talk to our children about sex? Because we all know that's something we need to talk to them about.
Right.
So, gosh, it's just so much, you know?
Well, I think that's what really makes your practice so unique, is that you know, not a lot of people hear about sex therapists who are also Christian counselor available. You know, they're also available. You're not necessarily a Christian counselor, or do you?
I can go there.
I mean,
if my clients want to pray together, if they want me to read something to them that's spiritual afterwards, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
I meet my clients where they're at.
Right.
I don't right away. Okay, so I can disclose something. I've had people come right out the bat and like when they're just trying to fill me out and see who I am, I've had people who start a session by saying, do you believe in abortion? Or, you know,
they just go in
right away. Right. You know, what do you think of homosexuality? Mm-hmm. You know, right away. But we all know that it's not really our personal beliefs or our values that take place. It's how we're supposed to work as a therapist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how we were trained as therapists, and we're not here to judge.
Right.
We're not here to put in our own ideas, our own values about things. We're going to meet the client where they're at and then help facilitate that conversation.
Yeah.
So I, you know, that's usually my way of saying, well, you know, I don't know if that really matters.
Right.
This is what we're going to do here.
Right. You know? Right. I think that's a good point to make, especially for people that aren't familiar with any type of therapy, that, you know, coming in and kind of testing your therapist or asking because you need to make sure that all of your beliefs align is not really the role of the therapist.
Right.
And more than likely, we're just going to explore why is that so important to you?
Right.
And what are you seeking in getting that validation of your beliefs or things like that?
But I also really, really respect. I'm happy that the clients do that kind of thing because I think we do have to be our own advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times
you mean for the clients?
For all of us.
Yeah.
Because I think all the time, like if we go see an OB-GYN, if we go see a lawyer, if whoever it is, I think it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what y'all think, but I think a lot of times culturally, these people have this title, And so whatever they say, we just kind of believe it.
Right.
It would. So can I talk about something real quick? Or?
Go for it.
Okay. So I used to work at a hospital.
Yeah.
And I would translate Spanish for the patients. And I would be translating, okay, you're getting ready to have this operation. You're going to do this and that. Do you have any questions? No. Todo bien. Everything's okay.
Right.
We're okay. And I'm like, my gosh, they're going to go cut you open.
Right.
They're going to take something
kind of
out.
Kind blind faith, yeah.
And so the answer that they would give me in Spanish all the time is, no, it's the doctor, whatever he says.
Right.
Whatever he
that
says.
That is, that I find that a lot with my Latino clients is even with therapy, you know, it's kind of like, just tell me what to do, you know, because there is sort of this reverence for people who have some sort of license or title that you're kind of like taught to not question authority, so to speak. And so I have to kind of break it down to them like, well, that's not really. And I think part of it, I do think that it's a really big cultural piece within our community. And it's also kind of like a lot of the people will go to maybe their church. You know, like if they're Catholic, they might go see the priest. And there is more of this, like, this is what you need to do.
Right.
The authority on this. So explaining to them that therapy is a little different.
Right. The Spanish-speaking clients will always call us doctor.
Yes.
Even though we don't have a PhD.
And we'll tell them we're not a doctor.
All the time. Whatever you say, doctor, what you think, doctor.
Right.
And it's like, no.
That's interesting because I'm trying to think if I feel like that may be the opposite in the Black community.
Is that right?
Where it's a lot of questioning of authority.
Right.
And not trusting of those people that are in those positions.
Right.
So it's interesting to hear from that perspective where it's kind of like that blind faith.
There's this fear, I think, of the authority. And I find it also when you're working with Spanish-speaking clients that they've just, you know, they're immigrants. And so, like, you know, they may be in fear of authority for whatever reason.
Right.
Like, okay, I have to abide by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this real sort of like, I don't know, would you say it's almost like I'm not supposed to question, I'm just supposed to be okay with being here. I'm just supposed to be thankful for being here. So I'm not going to question that authority.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real fear and anxiety under it too.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So when it comes to sex therapy and how do clients or anyone know that like this is something you should be seeking or looking into?
So like what you're asking, what are the different situations they could be in to say,
right.
This
like
is
what
time
would they
to ask
look
for
a sex therapist?
Oh gosh, there's so much. So I would say some common things that I see is maybe all of a sudden low desire, libido changed at a certain time. Things are different. They don't feel the way they used to sexually, whether it's about themselves, like how they're feeling about themselves, whether it's the actual sex act, and they're just not getting what they used to out of it. my goodness, there's so much. Because even if somebody came to us because they were having pain during sex, or like two of my other books, no, we're good. Two of my other books is like, you know, erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. Right. Normally, we have to go and refer to a urologist or a pelvic floor specialist because as we know as therapists, we want to rule out all the medical issues first.
Right.
So I guess I hesitate saying, well, if it's something medical, they should come to us. But we are a good place to start because then we can inform them why they should probably get checked and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, there's so much.
And then you mentioned like pelvic floor physical therapist,
yes,
which some people aren't even aware that exists. So, you know, sex therapists who work in collaboration with other medical professionals, they're going to let you know what are these other options. Because I just learned of pelvic floor physical therapy a few years ago, going into this profession and meeting, you know, Dr. Uchenna Desai, UC Logic, who's amazing, and not even knowing that that's there. So, and then our niche, you know, in and of itself within the therapy world is so specialized.
Right.
And I'm just learning about it because of this, you know? So, so many people are unaware of the resources that are there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that would be a good reason for them to start with a sex therapist, because we can really have a large, I guess, like conversation about that,
right?
About, let me tell you why, and this is what we're going to do, and these are the steps we're going to take. And I feel that way with my clients, that, you know, I want to be their advocate. I want to walk with them in this journey and not make them feel like, oh, something's wrong with me. It's like, okay, let's figure it out together. Let's let's journey together and figure out what this thing is.
And it sounds like a lot of it is educational, like in the beginning parts of, like, once they explain what the issue is that they're having, now let's explore what are the reasons and the options that you have and what other ways, you know, yes, this can be a component of it, but there are other options for you as well as far as getting the help that you need.
And an important thing, too, is that you don't have to just be complacent and say, oh, this is how it's always going to be, and I have to just accept it.
Right.
No.
I love that you say that, because I think that especially with the topic of sex, there's sort of this expectation that at a certain age, that's just not something for you anymore, or after you've been with someone for a certain amount of time, like, well, that fades. You know, it's almost this expectation that sex will just spontaneously and naturally happen, and when it's not spontaneously happening anymore, it's just because that's nature taking its course, you know, versus being really sort of intentional about it, just like what we talk about with our mental health, you know?
Right. When I was going through the training for to become a sex therapist, I caught myself. I actually realized through my training that anybody above probably like 65, for whatever reason, I wasn't asking that question. What's your sex life like? How's sex, you know? So I think it was just a stereotype I fell into. And so, you know, that helped open up my world. And I love it because now I'm going there, of course, with all my clients.
Absolutely.
And I have clients like in their upper 70s and couples who have said, oh, Stephanie, we have mind-blowing sex.
I love it.
And
life goals.
Yes.
We don't need that. Well, let's talk about this other
stuff. Right. You know? That's perfect.
But it's great, though, because it's just that constant reminder of what you just said, that we don't have to fall into this misconception that, oh, just because I'm getting older or I've had the same partner for 3 decades already, you know, that it has to be this way. It has to. No, I mean, we are here to get the best out of life that we can get in all areas.
Yes, please.
So, definitely.
Please.
Yeah. And I think that's what I love about our job so much is that we see this change constantly. We see people improving. We see people growing. And so being a sex therapist, it's just that much more fun because
then
you get that whole area.
We get to talk about sex and relationships and just promoting that and promoting the idea of optimal, you know, sexual health and pleasure. I'm sorry. I'm excited for you. She's like, yes.
No, favorite. But that because you also are a sex therapist.
So as far as Black and Latinx communities. Mm-hmm. Why do they need to seek out sex therapists? Or are there any differences in like the experiences that they have when it comes to sexuality?
Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that there's differences, but we could say that about any, right? Mm-hmm. Any race, any culture. The ones that I see with the Latino community a lot is because religion plays a big mm-hmm. part, yeah. Cultural things also. Should we go there and talk, bring up what some of that stuff is? Okay.
Yes.
So here we go.
As a Latina, you know, growing up Latina and going into this field, what are some of the kind of like pushback that you had to come up against or that might show up in therapy, you know, cultural aspects of mm-hmm. that or cultural expectations mm-hmm. of what it means to have sex within a relationship or just on your own? What are some of the common things that you see mm-hmm. amongst the Latino community?
Okay. Wow, there's a lot. So some of the things I see a lot is with women, there's an obligation or a kind of being submissive kind of thing that I'm just supposed to submit. I'm just supposed to do my duty kind of belief where she could be suffering. She could be having pain. She could be having a lot of things, but she's not supposed to say that.
Right.
She's supposed to just.
Like,
maybe, try not to be too graphic.
Grin and bear it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to grin and bear it. Absolutely.
And then where religion, I think, plays a big role is, I'll quote my husband because he's really good about this.
And
he says
he's watching. He said hi.
So I'm going to quote you. And he said, you know, in church, they're real good about saying, don't do this, don't do that, mm-hmm, don't do this. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you what you can do.
Right.
Right.
And so that's what a conversation I get to have a lot, because I think people come into sessions saying, no, I'm not supposed to do that. Or, no, that's not right. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why not? You're married. You're married mm-hmm. in the church. You know mm-hmm. what? Let's talk about this, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think it's a lot about things that were imposed upon us by maybe our parents, cultural things. I think pornography is great in a lot of different areas, but I also think that a lot of people are getting education from pornography.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think a lot of people think, well, that's like the bad thing, you know, especially if you're somebody who's like, oh, no, pornography is bad and mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. And then they come and then they're like, well, I shouldn't dress sexy because I don't want to be one of those. Or I shouldn't like mm-hmm. embrace my sexuality and make noises and in sex and stuff because I don't want to be like those people over there.
Or I think the flip side, too. So that's what it should be like. Mm. So that's what I should be responding, or that's what I should enjoy, or that's what women like. You
but
know?
I'm not. That's not really me. But I'm supposed to do that.
Right. All those shoulds.
Don't shoulds yourself.
Yes.
Which again is sort of like you said, you know, being neither here nor there as it pertains to pornography, but being aware of if that is your source of sex education. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll often tell couples, you know, or I'll tell people if you are having trouble with driving tickets and, you know, crashing your car, where'd you learn about it? And you tell me, where'd you learn how to drive? By watching Fast and the Furious.
Exactly.
You know, like that's a fun movie to watch, but that will not work in real life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's that education piece for you. So how do you finesse that with the cultural aspect?
Okay, so more of like from the Latino angle or from like the religious kind of angle?
Probably both. The cultural aspect, both, you know, is they kind of...
Just like in any kind of therapy, it's a matter... So I think about collaborative therapy a lot, and they talk about like the layers of the onion, you know, and you're pulling apart the layers of the onion. And so it's to say, well, wait a minute, why do you feel that way? Mm. Okay, well now, what do you think you learned that? Mm. Okay. Well, do you really, now how do you feel about the beliefs you're developing today as opposed to the ones that were told to you as a child?
Right.
And we're unpeeling.
Right.
So that's the process in any kind of therapy, you know, is to say, well, why do I even believe that? Is that really me? And now let's get to the essence of me. And it's like, well, damn. Well, no, I don't want to believe that. Right. I don't think that.
Like, that's still working for you.
Yeah.
Right. I think you said something earlier about the things that are imposed on us. And I remember I used to do premarital counseling for the Catholic Church. And one of the preachers there was like, a lot of people are believing in their grandmother's religion mm-hmm. and not the actual Catholic Church religion. Mm-hmm. So it's these things that were taught and, you know, told from generation to generation mm-hmm. that was never in doctrine, was never mm-hmm. like in the Bible, but mm-hmm. this is what your grandmother told you you were supposed to be doing yeah. as a good Catholic.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of times where that Catholic guilt comes from. It's yeah. less about what the church is teaching you and what your generations and your family has taught you.
Yeah.
And then so, if you're Mexican, that's double whammy. Because that's how we are ruled.
Yeah.
That's how we are parented is
right.
with guilt.
Right.
You got the guilt of your suffering mother who's sacrificed everything for you, you ingrate, and then uh-huh. you got the Virgin Mary praying for you and you have her in tears, you know, like, so guilt and shame
yeah.
is just
yeah.
so intertwined.
Yeah.
You know, and so then sex, I think just across the board for most people, there's a certain level of shame
mm-hmm.
that it's like, man, mm-hmm. how do we have 19 babies? My grandmother did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so
so yeah. how does that work?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I know earlier we kind of talked about over-sexuality. Well, we talked about outside of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So over-sexuality in communities of color and how that might affect the people that are seeking out sex therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like sexuality, how women and men of minority communities are portrayed in the media
mm-hmm.
As being these overly sexual people
mm-hmm.
or even as teenagers when we start to develop early, how people start to view us as a sexual being even before we even know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see that as far as in your practice where people are coming in and feeling like, well, I've been sexualized since I was 12 years old, and I've also been taught on the other end to not be sexual, so then that there's a conflict there.
Mm-hmm. So again, I think it's a lot of what we're already talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of where did you get these messages?
Mm-hmm.
Where are these messages coming from? Now you need to own it, honey.
Yeah.
Now you need to say, but what do I believe? What do I want? How do I want to live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think the culture does that a lot. I was sharing with these two lovely ladies earlier that I feel like for me personally, it was almost the opposite. When we would go into Mexico a lot when it was safer back in the day and we could go shopping whenever we wanted
to.
Just
show your license at the border and get through.
Just walk on in, go shopping, come back.
Yeah.
When I would remember seeing like the magazines and stuff that were out, you know, I'd buy my elote or doing whatever. And the women were very curvy and they just like,
cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, as opposed to all the American models. And they were just this like
really
yeah,
thin. And
yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just as opposed to this,
yeah.
you know. And so growing up, I took that upon myself as, wow, that's nice. You got some meat on your bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a sexy thing. Own it. Embrace it. Where I see a lot of people who have embraced the American culture to say, mm-hmm. no, this is why I think eating disorders take place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm supposed to, like, be like this. And I'm supposed
thin.
To fit
yeah.
this and look like them. And so I feel like I'm getting off the
subject. No, no, no. Like for you, it wasn't
yeah,
such
so
a negative.
It was different.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a different perspective.
So, but I can see where that could affect them, how
mm-hmm.
they could say, well, I'm supposed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to act like that.
Right.
And again, I think it also is a social thing where, well, boys won't pay attention to
mm-hmm.
me unless I take a picture of my boobs and text it to them.
Yeah, now
or
you
else,
got social media.
Or
and...
else they won't pay attention,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we got to break that apart. Well, you know, what does that mean? And are they just wanting
yeah.
you to see if they can get you to send them
right,
a selfie of
right,
your boobs or
right.
something, you know?
Well, and I think the piece that you are, you know, to add to that is, if we're over-sexualized or objectified in some way, and then there's no conversation around sex, right?
Yeah.
Like if the caretakers, the people around you aren't having this conversation, because again, you know, I often tell people, sometimes parents shy away from the conversation about sex because
mm-hmm.
right away their mind goes to the act of sex
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, body awareness, you know, health, just all of that.
Mm-hmm.
you're not even talking to me about the changes that are happening mm-hmm. in my body for me to understand them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, again, just these conversations that are often so taboo, mm-hmm. you know, in our communities.
Yeah, and the poor kids, you know, because not only are they so stimulated by all these other ideas.
Yeah.
Now with the internet, I mean, have to deal with that.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
Right.
So now with the internet,
a click away.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I had this one experience, mm-hmm. and so I looked it up, and so now I'm this,
right.
you know, and there's so many different labels yeah. now. And so now they're feeling like, oh, because I'm pansexual, because I'm this or that, I need to act that way.
A certain way.
Mm-hmm. And then
just the confusion and not having mm-hmm. the conversations, which mm-hmm. often the parents don't have the mm-hmm. information.
Right? Right.
So that's why we got to keep talking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But one of the things that I want to make sure that we highlight also is the work that you do to help couples. And mm-hmm. so something that's really cool that Stephanie does is you put on workshops.
Yes.
You have one coming up in yeah. March.
I have several. I don't even know what the dates are.
I think March 10th.
March 10th. Yes. And we can put a link to that, to the brochure.
Okay.
But it's March 10th, and it is the Art of Love.
Thank you very much.
A taste. Not a whole meal. Not a three-course dinner. But a taste
That's
of
right.
Tantra.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Tantra is? Because,
sure.
you know, I think a lot of people have heard the term Tantra or tantric sex.
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yes.
We know you have. Have you?
Right.
Any
questions? That's the question.
If not, yeah. you need to learn about
now
it.
Right. You know. You're going to have a taste of a taste.
Right.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about Tantra and kind of.
So my sex therapy supervisor, Dr. Sally Valentine, is the one who opened up my world to Tantra. So she also teaches these workshops, and that's how I learned about all this stuff. When my husband David and I went to our first workshop in Florida, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We went to our first workshop over there, and as a participant, it was great. As us going as a couple, it was great, and I'll talk more about that. But as a therapist, I was like, this is a missing piece.
Mm.
This is the piece that I need in my work to help people make this more intimate connection.
Mm, I love it.
And what I mean by that is I often laugh with my friends because people are like, oh, you're a sex therapist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and they probably have these ideas
yeah.
and
right.
all sorts of stuff. But you know, in a boring way, what happens often in sessions is that we're talking about the relationship. We're talking
right.
about, hey, help with the dishes once in a while, you know?
Right.
You know, we talk
You'd be surprised at how little.
You're like, ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Tickle my fancy.
And so we talk about that a lot. I could go into my whole 50 Shades of Grey theory over here, but that's another short. But certain things have to be put in place. A person has to feel safe. A person mm-hmm. has to feel
right.
like there's a connection. And that's what Tantra does. It talks about a spiritual connection, an emotional connection, a mental, like the feeling of energies. I've been studying a lot of things because I've been seeing a lot of the mind-body-spirit connection mm-hmm. in my work. And so I also wanted to learn, that's what got me on this journey, about like how the body is affected, how, you know, there's like a certain energy that you feel with people. We all know that.
Yeah.
We
mm-hmm.
feel sexual energy. There's chemistry mm-hmm. with certain people.
Right. Right.
And it's to not lose that with, especially with our longtime partners, mm-hmm. you know, it's to how do we keep rebuilding that energy with our monogamous partner,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do. And we have fun. It's all day from like 9 to 6.
You keep your
FYI. Clothes on because there are some Tantra workshops where you don't have to keep your clothes
right.
on.
That's not it.
And that's yeah. why it's just a taste.
Yeah, it's not a full, right.
Go home and get your meal.
Yeah, there you go home. And then we'll actually do exercises together. You know, a lot of couple work. We don't invite too many couples. The space will be limited. So make sure to register quick because
yeah.
it's going to fill up. And then what happens is we want to make sure everybody feels comfortable. Because I've had a couple
of safety of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've had a couple of people say, I'm going to do stuff in front of other people say things. No, no, no. We're going to make sure to respect that.
Right. And have your privacy.
Everybody will have their privacy and their space to talk and do what they have to do. And we'll, my husband and I will guide you through the whole exercises.
That is awesome. It's, that to me is so, so dope. You know, because I love what you're saying. You know, it's like, again and again, it's how can we connect all of these parts of who we are? Mm-hmm. And you said creating or sustaining or something like that, mm-hmm. being intentional mm-hmm. about what you're infusing mm-hmm. into your relationship and not just, you know, it's faded. And so that sucks.
And so, and so Tantra focuses on that, mm-hmm. on the intent, on being present, mm-hmm. on focusing, mm-hmm. on making sure that when I use this example a lot with my clients where I'll say, okay, look, I can hand you this, right? So I'm going to hand it to mm-hmm. you. Mm. Or I can hand it to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great example.
Y'all didn't feel that.
Right, but it was completely different.
But you could probably see and feel from the distance mm-hmm. the difference.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. And so
in even the reaction of like, oh, you're okay.
Oh, my
And I think what happens is when we're with the same people, even with our friends, we treat the same people the same way all the time, and we forget the intent. We forget to really be present, to really share that emotion, to really say, no, I'm here for you, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I think especially in our world now with, you know, our technology and just so many things that beg our attention also, mm-hmm. that it is so easy to lose that connection and being intentional about restoring it. Mm-hmm. Love that. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And making that decision that this is going to be the priority. And so what do I need to do to create the type of love, sex, whatever mm-hmm. that I desire and that I want. Right.
Okay. And then I just want to make sure that everybody knows that this isn't something just for clients. I mean, this is something for therapists. This is for your friends. Anybody can attend these workshops.
Right. Not any age. You have a certain age that...
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know if I've had to do that yet. Because for me, as long as it's a couple.
Okay.
So I guess if they're minors, I guess I'd have to see. I mean, are they married? Right. So is there some kind of, do I need their parents' permission?
Do you have the ability to sign documents
on
yourself?
Own.
That would be a good
probably.
So couples at any stage in their relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have to be married.
No.
So before we started, I know for Facebook Live, you were showing some of your resources. Can you go through a couple of those just mm-hmm. so for the audio and for the people that are on now?
Sure.
A couple of your favorite resources and why you enjoy them so much.
Okay. So often people want to know more about Tantra. Mm-hmm. So this is a book that I had to study.
Spiritual Sex. Secrets of Tantra from the Ice Age to the New Millennium.
Wow.
By Nick Douglas.
So it just covers everything. So if you just want something informative about it, this would be a book.
Okay.
And then there's an Idiot's Guide to Tantra. So that one too. Let's see. So this one is also all Tantra stuff.
Secrets of Sexual Ecstasy.
You got some good stuff.
Yeah.
I am going to be coming over.
I have the DVD in my office, so we just have to have a movie night.
Yes.
We'll have to have a movie
night. Please invite me. Popcorn. Let's talk about it.
Therapist, get in touch with us. Maybe we'll have a therapist.
That would be awesome.
Really,
that would be very awesome.
We're going to do it.
We're doing it.
Okay, we're doing it.
DM us.
Right. If you're interested, if you live in the Houston area, let us know if you're interested.
Yeah,
that would be very awesome.
Yeah, and come over to my office. I'll make it cozy and we'll watch movies.
We'll probably offer to see you or something.
Okay.
All the ideas.
So something that I like to show a lot is Betty Dodson's celebrating
orgasm.
Betty Dodson is ultra cool.
Oh,
and so she wrote a book like in the 70s or something that got a lot of attention. She's through ASEC and she's a sex educator, mm-hmm. I believe.
Can you tell them what ASECT is? So it's AASECT. That's the acronym.
Okay. The Association.
American Association. Sexual Educators, Counselors, and Therapists.
Thank you. Yes.
And so what it is essentially it's an organization where they require a certain amount of hours, a certain courses for you to take, a certain amount of supervision. Mm-hmm. And that's because I think it's Florida is the only state that regulates who can call themselves a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're looking for a sex therapist, if you're interested in possibly exploring sex therapy, again, which is just traditional psychotherapy, we just have extra training in sex. Mm-hmm. Knowing that anybody can call themselves a sex therapist, but finding out what is the educational background that they had for that.
Right. And that's really good to mention that, because I get a lot of calls from people who say, how do you do this? How do you become a sex therapist?
Mm. Yeah.
So here in Texas, what happens is we get licensed, right? Mm-hmm. So we have our LPCs, our MFTs, mm-hmm. our social workers. And kind of like what you said, essentially anybody can do it. But what was happening for me was people were coming to me with, like, issues of vaginismus.
Right.
Or erectile.
Which you don't learn in your master's program.
Or you take one class on it. Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was.
Oh, really? Okay, we had a human sexuality class. Our program was really good.
So, yeah, now my school is offering it, so I'm so happy about that. But, so I found myself saying, whoa, there's a lot of things that these people really need to know in a practical sense.
Right.
And I don't know how to share that with them. And so then that's why I took it upon myself post-graduation, post-licenses, to go back to school
and get more training.
And then get the training. And, yeah.
Which I don't mean to derail, but I think it's important for people to know also that if possibly they've had a bad experience with a therapist where they brought up the topic of sex or they brought up something like a case, like, for example, vaginismus, and the therapist didn't know what to do with it, you know, that can shy away people. That can cause more shame because it's like, well, geez, not even my therapist knows about this or my doctor. And just knowing it's unfortunate that it's not just kind of understood or you're not given that training, that it's specialized training, which is the part that I would want them to know.
Right.
Seeking out someone that maybe has more of these resources. Because you can also, they could also have their individual therapist, and like, I'm limited. Like if you need help with, you know, substance abuse or something, I'm going to refer you to someone. Or we can continue doing this work, and then you see that therapist for that. So just knowing that piece.
Right. But again, with that said, if somebody suffers from issues, that's why we refer men to, like, urologists.
Right, for the medical piece.
Because it'll be more specific type of tests that they're going to do and things like that. And then the pelvic floor specialist. But that's what was really cool about what Betty does. So one of the things that we do as sex therapists is something called body mapping.
And I
love that. And the analogy I was given was, if you're going to invite somebody over to your city to visit you at your city, and you don't even know what restaurants are good or what you like to eat or what you like to go see, I mean, not so good of a time, right? But if you're already familiar with your city, you know your city pretty well, y'all are going to have a pretty good time.
Right.
Come explore the city.
But know your city first.
Right,
you
have to learn your city first
your
before
city.
You, yes.
Put your pinpoint right here.
Okay, we're having too much fun
all right,
now.
All right,
where's the wine?
Okay, so go ahead.
And so I'll actually show these types of videos that actually have a practical piece to them.
Yeah.
It explores the body because guys have the advantage. You know, it's external. Us ladies, it's a little harder to kind of like know what's going on down there and stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's some lovely volunteers who actually do that. And then we can like explore the body together. I can talk to them about the different parts of the body, the feel good parts of the body, and on and on and on.
Love it.
Awesome.
I don't even know what time it is. How are we doing?
Well,
we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up with our typical questions that we ask everyone.
Okay.
And so the first question is, why is therapy dope? And then we can even be more specific as to why is sex therapy dope?
Yes.
Oh my God. Y'all not learned?
I was going to say.
I feel like we've had such an intense conversation.
If you don't know yet, but why is sex
therapy? Yeah, because it needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be talked about. And we need to be comfortable with it within our families, with ourselves, with our partners. And that's what makes it so dope, is just to be able just to be natural about it. Yes. And understand it and embrace it.
Absolutely.
And so
yeah. Celebrate it.
Celebrate it. Thank you.
Exactly.
Celebrate the orgasm.
That's right.
So what makes you a dope therapist? How are you changing mental health and reducing the stigma in minority communities?
So, yeah, because y'all actually asked me that before.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
And so the thing that came to my mind was what I mentioned earlier, that I think because of all my wild past experiences, okay, don't let your mind go into the gutter.
No, but you do have an awesome past.
Thank you. She knows my story.
Yes.
And I think all of that and the way I grew up, and I mean, I feel like education was my golden ticket, you know, and I feel like I've lived in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to share.
Literally.
I'm going to share something with y'all. So this is, we're getting personal now. Everybody get ready.
Oh.
So melanin and mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of dark skin, mm-hmm. beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. So right here between the three of us, we're representing mm-hmm. different shades, mm-hmm. right?
That's right?
So with my shade, sometimes it's like, well, I don't really fit sometimes in this group, but then I'll go to Mexico and you don't really fit there either, you know, because you grew up in Texas and you have generations. Yeah. And so I feel that too, that, okay, so maybe somebody won't necessarily like own me, but I feel like I do and have been able to experience
a
lot.
Navigate a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And so I get a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of experiences. Mm-hmm. And so same thing, like what we were talked about before, it's not me imposing other people's ideas
right.
or being judgmental or telling you how to do it because I'm the one that has
right.
the degree and all that. No, it's about really getting somebody's story.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. And I love that you're saying that because you do. You are very strong with your faith and everything. Mm-hmm. And I love that you can make that distinction that doesn't mean I'm going to impose
right.
my beliefs or my faith.
Right.
On you.
Yes. Right, right,
that
right,
is,
right.
That is dope.
Yeah. 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 Did that make sense?
Yes.
Though,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So tell our audience where they can find you, how do they follow you, how do they sign up for this awesome workshop?
Oh, shoot. I have a big old sign that has my information.
Okay, let me tell you, because I have to help her out. So you can find her at therapistofkatie.com.
Yes.
That's your website where
yes.
they can go to book.
Therapist, singular.
Yes.
Therapist of Katie.
K-A-T-Y.
Okay. Right.
And you're also on Instagram as mm-hmm. Therapist of Katie. On
Facebook.
Therapist of Katie.
Yeah.
And so,
Psychology Today.
Yes. And now if they want, and of course, on the
Melanin Mental Health.
Yes.
She has been from
the beginning.
Yes.
Yes. You can find her. She's one of our dope therapists listed there. And we're going to have, also a blog with a little bit more about Stephanie on there soon.
Yeah.
And then to sign up for your workshop, they can go to your website
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
call you. Email.
I have an events page on my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So click that and then it'll walk you through everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we're serious about the movie night.
Yes. Let us know if you live in the Houston area and you're interested in learning more about tantra sex.
Yes.
Orgasms and anything that
yeah.
can help your couples. We're doing it.
We're
so y'all can let us know if y'all want to come
tuned.
Or not. Right. So, yes.
All right. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you, ladies.
Yay.
Thank you for watching.
Yes.
You can follow Melanin and Mental Health across social media at Melanin and Mental Health and on Twitter at Melanin Health. Also follow us on all the podcast platforms, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher,
yes.
Google Play, iTunes, guys. Go in. And if you do have an Apple phone, subscribe and leave a review. That way more people can know about us. I have learned from podcasting from all these years that iTunes reviews are gold. Like
yeah.
they are very, very important. So
yeah.
please go leave a review. Tell everybody
leave
how awesome
love.
We are, how dope we are, and what we're talking about and how much you enjoy it.
And
yes.
next week, we're going to be back on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day, and it'll be me and Elisa.
So send us some questions, because Ebony and I are also, you know, relationship therapists. We specialize in sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have some questions that you
yes.
want us to answer about relationship sex as a therapist, as, you know, client, you know, go ahead and either DM us or send us an email at info@melaninandmentalhealth.com, and we will, you know, anonymously answer some of these questions online
yes.
At our next show. And then February 16th.
February 16th is the live show of Room for Relations. So yes. As some of you know, I have a podcast called Room for Relations, which is a sex and relationship podcast, where we discuss everything from the first date to the last orgasm. Ooh. So we are going to have a live show in collaboration with Melanin and Mental Health next Friday at Momo's Wine.
Food and Wine. Here in Houston, Texas. It's this beautiful wine bar that they're opening it up to us. So come on by, mix and mingle, meet with other therapists, meet with other people. It's not just for therapists.
It's for everybody.
Again, the theme is relationships and sex this month. The theme of the event is, yeah, you look good, but are you good for my mental health?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
So we're going to be talking about mental health and relationships.
Yes.
And if you have ever heard any of my podcasts, just know it's just a conversation.
It's just a conversation.
So if you have any questions for that, letters, I don't know if we're going to do like a live letters or if you can send letters in early. Maybe send letters in early so it can be kind of anonymous. But if you want to ask questions while you're there, that's welcome as well. So it's going to be a good time. So make sure that y'all sign up for that.
Yes. And don't forget, we are still in the month of February.
Yes.
Looking for
100. We are looking for 100 dope therapists. We got an influx the first couple of days, but we have not met our goal. So if you know a dope therapist, have them sign up. Again, you can sign up for the directory without a credit card now. You just sign up, put your information in, and just let people know where you are. We're continually getting people calling.
We are getting
like a lot
Baltimore,
lately.
Maryland. Still looking for a dope therapist in the Baltimore, Maryland area. People contacting us. We want to be able to connect you with our communities who want to find dope therapists like you. So 3 months, no credit card, no payment. I mean, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And
all you Latinos, where are y'all?
Yes. Represent. We need more. That was the thing.
We need
also some more Spanish-speaking therapists to live, you know, to list there. We have a handful of them. But more, you know, more Latinx therapists to put on there as well. So
All right. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.